Thank you, Aaron. I tell you, you could have kept right on going, and I'd have been just as happy. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. Also enjoyed Eric's devotional. Went along well with what I was asked to talk about tonight. And so the subject that I was asked to speak about, I have to tell you, I kind of dreaded talking to you all about it because I found a lot of areas in my life that I could use improvement. Darren called and asked if I would talk about the harm in gossip. And so that's a tough subject, and it's also a big subject, I found out. Definition of gossip is casual conversation or conversation involving details that are not necessarily confirmed as true and usually about someone else. Another definition that there's a song that we sing often, a familiar song. It's called I Love to Tell the Story. Of course, that song is about Jesus. But gossip is often someone else telling a story about someone else. And so we should keep in mind that we want to tell the story of Jesus. And quite honestly, I wish that I could talk about Jesus tonight rather than gossip. That would make me feel better. Some of what I'm going to talk about tonight is going to be out of James chapter 3. You can have that open it or not as you see fit. But I'm going to tell a few stories first, and then we're going to read some scriptures. I'm going to read some verses real quickly just to kind of head up what gossip is. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man soweth strife, a whisperer separateth chief friends. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down in the innermost parts of the belly. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There's quite a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about gossip. More than I probably could read in the next 15 minutes. There is a lot of verses in the Bible that talks about gossiping, slander, or talebearing. And I have to tell you, after studying the subject, I do believe that gossip probably tears more churches, more communities, and more people apart. Other than pride, I would say gossip is pretty close up there to the top of the list of tearing people apart. Families, gossip is a terrible, terrible thing. I just have to tell you, I was really surprised at how terrible it is when I studied on it. So I'm going to tell you one story first. This story comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 10. This story is about how something very simple turned into killing 40,000 men. It's a story of the Ammonites. The king of Ammon died, and his son, King Hanan, was ruling. And David, king of Israel, looked over at the Ammonites, and he said, you know what? Nahash showed me mercy, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to do something nice for King Hanan, king of the Ammonites, because his father was kind to me. So David took his men. He sent his men over there to the country of Ammon. And when the princes of Ammon saw that David's men were coming over there, they looked and told King Hanan, they said, do you really think that King David's sending his men over here because he's trying to be nice to give you comfort? You know, those men are spies. And so right there, they were tailbearing. They didn't even know. But they turned King Hanan's heart against the heart of King David's men. And so when the men came to King Hanan, king of Ammonites, he actually took David's men and he cut half of their beards off, and he cut half of their clothes off. And so they were naked, even to their buttocks, the Bible says. And then he sent them home that way. And can you think of the fierce shame those guys had? Those men of David, they got sent home with their beards half trimmed off, their clothes half cut off, and they had to go home that way. Terrible shame. They were so ashamed that when they got back to the country of Israel that they wouldn't even go in front of the people. They sent people into King David to tell him what happened to him. And David said, tarry over there in that city until your beards grow back. And, of course, they sent him clothes. And but then the Ammonites became fearful because all of a sudden they realized what they did. They realized that they had actually taken somebody that was going to do good to them, and they were cruel to them. And so they quickly hired other people from other countries, and they hired four other countries to come in and help them fight the Israelites because they thought that King David was going to be angry and fight them. So So they went up to war against the king, the Israelites, and when it was over with, all four of those countries had been vanquished, and I don't know how many men were killed there. But the king of Syria got was one of the countries that was hired, was Assyrians, and the Syrians were so upset that the Israelites had won in that first initial war that they set their whole army up against the army of Israel. And at the end of it, the army of Syria lost 40,000 horsemen, 7,000 chariots, and the king of and all of those countries, all five of those countries, served Israel from that day forward. But think of how many men's lives were lost because the princes of Ammon went to King Hanan and said one simple untruth. They said, "Does David actually send his men to comfort you?" No, those guys are spies, and they told a lie. And think about how many men were killed because of that. And so that story I found interesting. That's found in 2 Samuel 10 if you want to read more detail of that. Another story I'd like to tell you is, now I'm going to just reflect what kindness does, and then I'm going to ask you guys to do something for kindness, and you're going to maybe wonder how this all bears up to gossip, but it does. So Friday night for Bible story with my family, Cody was planning to leave Saturday morning pretty early to go to Carolina. He's going down to work for my brother in a mechanic shop for a few months. And so we at Bible story that night, we do this often. We don't always get Bible story done, to my shame, but now and then we do. And when we do, anyhow, we were in a circle there. And so each of us in that circle, the family, I said, "Let's go around the circle." I said, "Tonight's special. Cody's leaving." I said, "So I want each of you children," I'm just talking to the rest of the kids, "I want each of you to tell Cody something that you really appreciate about him. Anything, doesn't matter what it is, just tell him what you appreciate about him and why you're going to miss him the most while he's gone." And so they went around the circle, and one of the sisters had one of those moments where she couldn't really think of anything. She had an ah moment, like, oh my. And but she did think of something. But we went around that circle, and afterwards, we had prayer, did whatever. But the next morning, Ellie came running over to my bedroom. First thing at 7:30 in the morning, she said, "Dad, guess what Cody did this morning?" I said, "I don't know. What did he do?" He said, "He came into my bedrooms, and he woke Julie and I up and gave us a big hug before he left this morning at 3:30. I said, "How do you know that? Did you wake up?" "No, but Julie told me he did it." And so they were all excited about this, and I just had to think about, you know, those kind words that Cody heard the night before enthused him enough to go into the rest of his family's rooms and wake him up, tell him bye before he left. And so that was a pleasant thing for our family. But talking about the awe moment, how many times have you guys, I'm going to have you guys do an experiment, and just kind of each of you, look at the person in front of you, and pick a person on the bench in front of you. Doesn't matter who it is. Just look at, and if you don't have anybody in front of you, look at the person on your right. Find somebody on your right, and Delvin, you just have to look in the back a little bit. But everybody pick a person right in front of you, and now just think a nice thought about them. Just whatever it is, think a nice thought. Okay, how often do you guys do that? How often do you look out among your brethren and you think a nice thought about your brother? How often do you really do that? You know, often we take each other for granted, and we don't do that, and we don't think those nice thoughts because we just kind of take each other for granted. And oftentimes, we actually think something kind of vindictive, or, you know, that guy should straighten up. He should do this. Why is it important for us to be thinking these nice thoughts about each other? Because if we don't, we will gossip about each other. And that's where I'm leading to with some of this. By the way, as far as that nice thought you just thought of, if you had an ah moment and you couldn't think of anything, you can keep thinking. And if you did care to, you don't have to, but after the service, you can share that thought with that person if you like. That's up to you. So questions to ask yourself when it comes time to talk about, well, I wanted to say one other thing too, one other story before I went into a little bit more of the basics of gossip. I went to school with a kid. He was younger than I was, but I always thought he was so wise. He never talked a whole lot. He was a quiet kind of guy. And because of his silence, I thought he was a wise person. And after I left there, I'd moved out here. I was pretty young, 18, 19. But then Sharon and I got married. I was 21 when he came out here to visit. And he was out here a short time. And he finally did talk a bit. And when he started to talk, all of a sudden I recognized all that wisdom I thought was stored up in his head. He had a lot more questions than he had wisdom. And his silence didn't necessarily help him out. It actually didn't. He was in some ways a very unbalanced person. He had an enmity against a person that he had worked with, and he was really, really struggling with kindness in his heart toward that person. And he had to ask a lot of questions to get balanced in his mind and to understand how he should have felt about that person. Anyhow, he is now a very kind person and well liked in the church he's at. So I didn't mean to say that he didn't deal with that. But silence doesn't make you wise, and neither does it mean that you won't gossip. Silence doesn't conceal what's in your heart. Your heart still has those feelings and those vindictivenesses and those things that people deal with every day. So don't think necessarily silence is the way to not gossip. If you're still thinking those mean thoughts, God still sees that. And so questions to ask yourself. When you're thinking about people, we're going to get to the gossip part here shortly, but when we're thinking about people, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And then also when you think about gossip, here's some other things to think about. When you deal with gossip, we used to teach in school, we'd tell the teachers, I don't know what Wes tells them now, but we used to tell the teachers that when you have a problem at school, always deal with that problem on the lowest level possible. And the reason we said that is because if a teacher had a problem and if they immediately took it to a parent or took it to the school board, where are you going to go next with the problem? It was better to go first to the student that had the problem, deal with it there. If you couldn't deal with it there, maybe get the principal involved. But then if you couldn't, go up the ladder slowly. Don't go up there fast. So if you're dealing with somebody that's cruel or speaking evil of you, don't go to the third party and get them involved. Go to the person that's gossiping first. Deal with it from the bottom up. And I'm just telling you some of my thoughts now, but we'll get to some more of the scripture here. I'm going to read James chapter 3 in just a little bit. I want to say this too. Oftentimes in a youth group or maybe in a marriage, it's easy to tear youth groups apart. It's easy to tear churches apart. And your marriage is a precious thing. Did you know that if you say something about your spouse to someone else, that can be a very, very hurtful thing for your spouse. And you can tear a marriage apart. And that hurt could last for years and years and years. To gain the trust of your spouse by having said something about them to someone else, that's pretty hard to get past that in your marriage. It takes a lot of years of forgiveness sometimes. Words last a long time. Sharon still reminds me occasionally of things that I said that I didn't necessarily even say meanly, but she remembers them because they weren't always kind. And I've had to go back and tell her many, many, many times how sorry I am that I said something or repeated something to someone else that hurt her. So gossip, in that sense, can really be offensive in a marriage, but it also can tear a church apart. And if you think about the political system that we were just in just recently, the election that we just went through, and the nasty gossip we heard in this last election was not something any of us wanted to hear anymore of. We were sick of it. Every one of us were sick of it before we got into the... And gossip isn't always false. Gossip can be true. But should it be said? That's the question you should be asking. Should it be said? Okay, let's go to James chapter 3. I'm going to read there now. It's talking about the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, for though they be so great, and driven at fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And so I want to talk about fire. You guys, you all have fire in your wood stoves at home or around a campfire. And you notice if you take the wood and spread it out, the fire goes out. If you just take and quit feeding that fire. And when you have a gossip fire going on, if you keep feeding the flame, the gossip gets worse. But shut up. Quit gossiping. The flame will go out. Kindness can prevail. The Japanese have a proverb which says that the tongue is only 3 inches long, but it can slay a man 6 feet high. And so back to verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God and curse we men. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time place sweet and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's what we should be trying to do with our mouth, is make peace. Make peace with one another. Keep peace. Build each other up in the faith, edifying one another, loving one another. And, you know, we don't want to be Pollyanna. Pollyanna was I don't know how many of you read the Pollyanna books when you were little, but Pollyanna was always glad for this and glad for that. And I think that Pollyanna a little bit buried her head in the sand, and she didn't always know the truth about life because she just made everything glad. You know, we should be positive. We should be people that are glad and thankful and all that. But we should also face the truth in life. There's some nasty stuff that happens in life. But we take that and we build it up, and we have a look at life through the eyes of the Lord, and we don't gossip and tear each other down. Now, I want to tell you that I regretted this evening mainly because I don't feel like I've been necessarily always victorious in this area. I don't think that I've always I don't think any of us would think about ourselves as gossipers. But sometimes maybe it sounds like gossip to the person we're talking to. And so we should simply consider that sometimes. When we're talking, even if you don't think you're gossiping, how is the person that's listening perceiving it? And what is happening in their hearts? Are they gaining good ground and thinking good thoughts about the person or the information you're giving them, or is it causing them to sin? And that's what gossip does, is it causes people to tear down, sin, and all that. So think about those things, and that's all I have. I'm going to turn it back to Robert.
Okay.